Name.
And with a new name, yeah, Mr. Godwin.
Here comes the fun.
Present members of council, it's been a while since we've spoken about the legislature, and a lot has changed. As I can tell you from my experience, I don't think I've ever seen a session where there's been so many new bills introduced in 3 or 4 days of the end of session, but they've done it this year. I'm currently monitoring 36 different pieces of legislation, and that doesn't include the budget or epilogue language of the bond bill or anything. I can tell you that of all the bills that we're watching, there is one bill in particular that we want to get passed today, and that is House Bill 151, which will give our engineering department a little more time and the county council a little more time to adopt a new sewer district, a new sewer area. So that one, I have not seen the Senate agenda. The Senate hasn't posted their agenda yet. The House has their agenda up for tonight. The Senate is known for having what we call consent agendas, and they'll have several agendas out before midnight. So I'm hoping that Senate Bill 151 will be on one of their agendas, because Senator Hocker has been watching that carefully for us over in that chamber, and he told me Thursday that he had included it on his must-have list. So that bill should be up for consideration, and I'm relatively certain it'll pass if it gets to the floor. I wanted to point out a couple of things before we start talking about budget. I don't think we've talked thoroughly about the opportunity for this body to pass an ordinance that would limit the acceptance of firearms in the council chamber or in the county buildings. There is a bill, which is House Bill 201, has been introduced. It's passed the House, and it's over in the Senate committee, and I believe that it hasn't been released from the committee yet, but I'm hoping that if you want that bill, that it makes it tonight. I haven't pushed real hard for it. I really haven't had to. There have been other folks that have been working this bill a little harder than myself. Newcastle County is very interested in it, and Kent County has an interest in it. As a matter of fact, Kent County drafted the bill. Anyway, so much for that. I would like to know that you're in support of that, so I don't have to tell our friends to deal with it in a different fashion. There's another bill that I wanted to point out to you that affects all three counties, and it was just introduced last Wednesday, and it went through committee pretty fast, and it has to deal with handicapped parking. And this, speaking of House Bill 209, which, I'm sorry, it's not House Bill 209, it's House Bill 200. House Bill 200 would actually require the county, all three counties, to issue a permit for someone who is building a parking lot and to make sure they have the proper size striped parking spaces and also the proper size and amount of handicap spaces. This bill is being driven by those who promote handicap accessibility, which we all try to comply with that. I did have a commitment from the sponsor of this bill that they would not work the bill this session, but they want us to work with the Handicap Association from now until January, because they do intend to drive this bill through both chambers sometime next year. So I have forwarded a copy of this to Lawrence Lank and to Janelle for them to take a look at how it might work in our planning operation. It is somewhat burdensome on the county government, because it's not just about new parking lots being installed. If you come in, if you want to resurface and restripe your current parking lot, which was just done here in town by the shopping center a few days ago, you have to come to us with a plan, you have to apply for a permit, you have to have inspections, and it has to comply with all the provisions of state code and county code, particularly as it relates to handicapped accessibility. So it adds a new layer of cost, which I'm afraid might have some effect on whether or not the lot gets resurfaced or restriped. And it also puts another layer of bureaucracy in. I know how you generally feel about those things. So we have 6 months to work on this. But as the disabilities folks relate to myself and others, I'll make sure you're informed as to how that moves and what they're trying to accomplish.
Before we go any further, Is there a problem already in this handicapped parking? Everywhere I go,
I asked that question, and
where I go, there's a handicapped parking places Right. Everywhere.
The answer I was given was that there have been a number of cases in older parking lots, particularly, where there are parking spaces with the blue stripe around them and a little logo, so you know it's for a handicap room. Folks, you know, honor that and don't park there. But the biggest problem is then there's not, they need to have another 60 inches or 5 feet beside the parking place as an unloading area. For if the person is driving and has a wheelchair in their van and they have to get out the side of the van, they don't have room to do that. So it's really an attempt at adding that extra 60 inches unloading zone to every parking place, which apparently is in the code. It's just it doesn't get used because it's a new feature to the code. We're sort of grandfathering them. They want to eliminate the grandfathering and go retroactively back and add that space. And the point that I made to some of the advocates for this in legislative hall the other day was that you might then also violate the person's application from the county, because if they are required to have 150 parking places and they have 150, there might not be room to eliminate two or three to add in this loading area without a variance. So it might put the burden of a variance on the person, and there's no guarantee you're going to get a variance. So it could create a real administrative problem. And they're aware of that, but they said they promised that they wouldn't push the bill now, but they want to work with us over the off season to come to some resolution on these issues.
I'm from Missouri, and so I'd like to have an example of where a spot is that this is not being practiced. Just don't say, well, they don't have handicapped parking. I'd like to know where. Because I'll be honest with you, everywhere I go, this is already a practice. And like you said, it's a burden, it's added more expense to us and all this extra paperwork. For them to say that we're not doing that is easy. But for them to say we're not doing it and show us a spot that we're not doing it, then that's a little harder for me.
Well, I fussed with, there's a little shopping center just outside of Rehoboth, and they refused to put any kind of weight for wheelchairs to get in. And, you know, and so there was really nothing. I mean, I tried, state people tried. They refused to do it. So I don't know if that's maybe that kind of thing.
I don't think that the General Assembly or the proponents behind this bill are accusing us of not doing what we're supposed to do. The problem is that these handicap laws have evolved over the years. And in the very beginning, it was just a parking spot. It had to be striped blue with a logo and a sign. But after some years of that, they've added this unloading zone. So now there are parking lots that were developed perhaps in the 60s or before that have the proper number of parking places for handicapped folks. Mm-hmm. But those parking spaces don't each have an unloading area.
Well, what they ought to do maybe is put a number to that there's a requirement, you know, based on, say, if you have 50 parking spaces, five have to have loading zones. You have to have, say, 10 handicapped park places, but only five have the loading zone. Because I don't think every handicapped driver needs the loading zone. So, I mean, it seems excessive. So maybe that's the compromise. Go back and see if they would make it that there's a minimal amount of handicapped parking with loading zones.
Those are some of the details that will need to be worked out in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems crazy.
But I want you to be aware of this bill so that as I bring information back to you as it progresses through the system, you'll know what I'm talking about. I don't think we need to do anything about it today.
Mr. President, just one comment. I you know, my mother is in a wheelchair, and I am the one who drives her around very often in the wheelchair, and I have to get her in and out of my car. And, you know, the side things granted. But, you know, common sense, could they not, like I do sometimes, take up two spots? I'm just saying, but I mean, you put the handicap thing on there, nobody's going to give me a ticket, truly. I mean, where's the common sense sometimes in these things?
Hopefully we'll find that in the next 6 months.
Let's do that.
That's my thoughts, is just allow common sense to prevail.
Discuss all the alternatives. There is one more bill I just wanted to bring your attention to, Senate Bill 137. It's been on your report for a few weeks. This is the Delaware Community College System tax, which is being proposed as a statewide property tax. It's been assigned to the Finance Committee over in the Senate. It hasn't been released from the committee. But the reason I want to bring your attention to this, Gene and I have discussed this bill. This bill is written today, and it reads today. I'll read you the synopsis. Delaware's community college system plays a critical role in the state's economy by providing workforce development and transfer education that connects Delawareans with good-paying jobs within the state and region. This act gives the college's Board of Trustees the authority to issue bonds to finance the cost of major and minor capital improvements deferred maintenance and the acquisition of related equipment and educational technology associated therewith, and establishes the Community College Infrastructure Fund to pay the principal and interest on such bonds. This act adopts the county VOTEC structure to finance the fund by authorizing the college's Board of Trustees to collect a local property tax subject to a cap. Now, if you read the bill, that's the synopsis. If you read the bill, you'll find that the money comes in the front door into this fund, identified as the Community College Fund. But once it gets in the pot, the state can move that money to the Transportation Fund or the General Fund or pretty much wherever they want. So if you ask me, it's not just a college tax. If it were, it would be exclusively used for that purpose. The bill doesn't say that. So this looks like this bill has the potential to be more than a college fund tax. Just wanted you to think about that one. And I don't know that it's not on the Senate's agenda.
This is the bill that Levy Court went on record opposing?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't.
Yes.
We would collect it like the school taxes, and then we would just pass it on, so it would appear to be one of our taxes.
It would start at 10 cents per $100 of value.
I just know that there's a lot of people in Sussex County don't like the way the VOTEC schools are funded, and this would now expand it to the junior colleges. But
what I'd like to talk with you next about is the budget. Before we get into the bad side of the budget, there is a good side for us. In the current budget, and it was put in the current budget last Monday, they will be taking back dog controls, and that's in the budget. They have provisions in there to hire 14
people. That's the best thing.
And to take the dog controls back from the counties, and they're going to sequence the effectiveness into the dates that our contracts expire. So I believe ours expires at the end of this calendar year. Is that right, Gina?
Yes.
So the state will take it over January 1 of 16, and we would then start paying the state the same amount we were paying the SPCA for our contract. Okay, but they're going to take everything back, and they're going to contract with the shelters and do the whole dog licensing, dog control thing. The fee that we will be asked to pay in following years is not guaranteed.
Oh.
There you go.
That's the kicker.
I was very vocal about we need to know more about that, and all they would say is, we will work with you on that. I said, well, I'm the most afraid of is that our initial energy was on dog licensing and dog controls, and that energy has now been removed and put into animal welfare, which I think sounds like a bigger structure. So I made those comments to them that we weren't necessarily enthused about expanding the responsibilities, but that's the best I could do. Okay. As you know, last Monday, the Joint Finance Committee made a motion and voted it through to reallocate realty transfer funds, which come in on every property that's sold in Delaware at the rate of 3% of the sales price. Because realty transfer taxes have been divided evenly between the state government and whatever local government is involved in that sale. It's been that way for a lot of years. The Joint Finance Committee changed that last Monday to 2% for the state and 1% for the local governments, be they county or city and town. And of course there was an uproar, because that was going to hit our budget year one at $7 million. And they already, and I'll talk about another issue that they had in that budget that wasn't really in our favor either. But needless to say, all three counties and all 57 towns in this state are going to take a serious hit. And the people that were on the Joint Finance Committee heard from all of us a lot last week. We had our tri-county dinner this past week, as you all remember, Thursday evening, and we sat and discussed with Kent County and Newcastle County, what are we going to do over the weekend? How are we going to get ready for Tuesday? Well, I can tell you that I was back and forth with Newcastle County and Kent County all Saturday and all day Sunday. And late in the afternoon on Sunday, there was a message that came through from Newcastle County, my friends in Newcastle County, who said, it's over. They're going to put it back the way it was in the budget. And I said, sure, it's over. How do you know? And they said, here's a copy of a written commitment from the chairman and the co-chairman of the Joint Finance Committee. They have the votes to put it back in the way it was, and they're going to do it Tuesday when they go into session. And I said, gee, it sounds like some of the like-partied officials from Newcastle County government got their way.
Yes.
And it appears that that's what it was. There was a lot of, it wasn't just that, but there was a lot of energy from everybody in Delaware about how this is going to upset emergency services, because the people in this state have come to rely on, you know, our paramedics, which all three counties have outstanding paramedic systems, our volunteer fire departments, and our well-trained, world-class state police would all take a discount on their budget. They would all see less money. And I think that message got through very clear, because as I went to Dover every day last week, there were uniformed people there from Newcastle County and Kent County. And when I saw Tom Gordon come into the Joint Finance Committee hearing, I knew that there would probably be some ears listening to what he had to say, because he's a very powerful leader in Newcastle County. So I think the good news is that the three counties came together with our lobbying efforts, and without having a big parade of fire trucks and all sorts of things which was discussed around Legislative Hall, I think that we're going to, at least if what I read is true, we're going to have that realty transfer tax restored as it has been sometime later today. I imagine that they'll try to get that in and get the budget voted on early in the evening. The House goes into session at 7:30 tonight, and the Senate goes in at 6. And if they do what they have done many years in the past, they'll come into session, they'll have a couple of little comments and some discussions, and they'll break for dinner. And then they'll come back at 8:30 or 9 o'clock and get down to work. And they'll probably work into the wee hours of the morning, which I'm prepared to be there until they adjourn. But one thing I want you to remember about this particular period of time is that we're only halfway through the 148th General Assembly, which means that anything that isn't decided tonight will be alive and able to come back January 1st. Same legislators, same bill numbers, everything's the same. They just took a six-month break. So any bills that we're concerned about, we should still be concerned about. And it, this break time gives us ample time to work with our friends to resolve and discuss our issues, such as with this parking, this handicap parking issue. So that's my report, and I will have something ready for you, hopefully, tomorrow midday after I've had a little sleep, and I'll have an official report ready for your package, I hope, by Thursday. So wish you all a nice 4th of July. And
just some comments, Hal, on your report. Of course, as you're well aware, I've had numerous conversations with some elected people here. What I'm told as of 9:30 this morning, at 1:30 they're going to go in session. JFC goes in session to deal with grant and aid. And at that point in time, they are going to table the realty transfer tax. Mm-hmm. Their intent is to have that discussion over the winter with the counties and the towns. And I will tell you, I still think that it is their intent to make some kind of change in this next year to get more money for the state. That's just a personal opinion. Mm-hmm. But that should be voted on today to table it. Mm-hmm. And then the grant aid, as it stands right now, the conversation is going to be a 5% cut across the board, which means we're going to lose 5% more paramedic funding, which make us then 75-25. But that's, we'll see. It's going to be a long night.
One other thought that I wanted to share with you, the Delaware State Police are not happy about what the Joint Finance Committee did to our funding for our extra policemen either. And frankly, the Delaware State Police are a much more powerful lobbyist than I am. So they're working as hard to have that money restored as I am. So there may be some room for adjustment in that commitment as well.
Sure. Mr. President, may I just real quick comment? That would be, you know, to these two issues, the RTT, the realty transfer tax, as well as the augmentation of these, you know, 22 troopers from their budget, if you would, from our agreement. Number one, I think perhaps we even as a council should go official on record. But I think the fact that the state is even considering stealing the money from the residents of Sussex County to take it away from the public safety is an outcry. Is outrageous. I mean, these dollars are earmarked for public safety, and for them to even consider taking it to balance their budget, and their lack of ability to spend wisely is on them. But to take from the residents, from public safety, that is the number one role of a government, is to provide public safety. And I'm just shocked, as are others, that they would even consider doing this. And I know that we have the dollars, and it has been budgeted accordingly and responsibly to that effect. But is the other dollars to, regarding the DSP, is that still on the table, taking that away?
It still stands as it did last Monday, and that is that the state is not going to put in their half of the funding that we have always been committed to.
As of January 1st.
Yeah, 6 months.
They put in the budget one half of their cost.
Right.
So as of they put in 1.2 as of January 1st, that funding ceases. So then those 22 troopers will.
The argument is strengthened by the Delaware State Police on our behalf because it will not affect just Sussex County. They won't lay off troopers. What they would do if this were not to be restored somehow is they would begin. To, is what I'm told. They would begin to not replace retirees.
Yep.
And that'll happen statewide. And the 22 troopers might not just be Sussex County. It might be three or four from Newcastle County and four or five from Kent County. As their veterans retire, they won't be replaced. And then they'll try to shift service around some, but they won't lay off 22 troopers in Sussex County. It won't work that way.
That's correct.
They'll begin a process of attrition. Because they have a large enough troop that they have a significant amount of retirees each year.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be long for them to catch up to that number, is my point.
But at the end of the day, what it actually means is if this money does not get restored, that the Delaware State Police will be down 22 troopers come January 1st from what their assignment is today. That's the bottom line, because statewide.
When I was questioned about this in the hall, I told them that you had not given me direction yet. But I said, I can just suspect that my people in Georgetown are probably going to stay true to their commitment. And that way, if it gets shorted, it'll be shorted because you did it.
There's no thought, I don't think.
I would imagine that if you check with the leaders of Sussex County, that's probably what they'll tell you. And that's probably what you're saying.
Well, we've already met our obligation.
Right.
It's their obligation. They're not trying to hold up.
We are not going to change our funding. We're not going to take anything out of our budget. It's in our budget. We just passed the budget 2 weeks ago. It's in there. We're going to pay for what we pay for right. for the whole year. And what they do is entirely up to them.
So to that effect, Mr. President, comment, and that is the agreement that we have in currently. And Mr. Lawson, maybe what are the terms? Meaning, is this an annual agreement?
Yes. Correct.
And it goes from what time to what time? January 1 to like December 31st? Is that the calendar year for that agreement?
I don't know if it does or not.
No, it's fiscal year.
Yeah.
So which means it starts really July 1 through June 30th, correct?
Yep.
So midstream of our agreement, they're going to cancel the contract.
Not cancel the contract, yeah. But not provide the funding requisite that is needed for the services that we agreed to for this year.
Well, I'll call it canceling the contract. And I will tell you yet again, you know, that they're not being true to the residents of Sussex County. We are not going to go down on our promise to provide public safety, but the state, or therefore, really, I won't even say DSP, because they're the pawn here, that Dover has made public safety politics. They've made it a political football here, is the bottom line. And I think also, we as a council also know the numbers, as it relates to how many Delaware State Police are in this county as it relates to our population. And I think we ought to look a little bit further into those details to ensure that Sussex County is receiving the proper allocation from the Delaware State Police. I think we ought to perhaps look at that a little bit more because I think it's very, very relevant.
I would agree.
What's interesting is they're not going to get rid of those 22 troopers,
right.
They're still paying for them. It still costs them.
Exactly.
The same amount of money.
They'll retire off.
Well, I know, but they won't retire off overnight.
All retire off is one day.
No, that's what I say. So it would take, I don't know how many years it takes for that many people to retire off, but it doesn't happen even in a year. So
well, but it does.
Huh?
22 a year, but it does. DSP.
Oh, it does. Okay. All right.
There's usually two classes of state. The state police school is usually twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's most of the classes that I've seen will have 15 or 20 state troopers.
Well, how I would say, try to salvage it if you can up there at Dover. Let's say maybe they partially fund it. In other words, maybe we don't have the 44. The county will still continue to do our 22 or whatever the number we are. If they could come up with a 10, you know, if they could cut it back, keep something, keep the program going somehow, and keep helping the, you know, security issues in Sussex County.
I'll go one more step, Mr. President. Just one last comment, and I'll be done with this. And that would be...
You said one more.
Well, you know, but you guys have heard this before, but I guess in a public forum now that we're talking about this subject. But again, I think we need to focus on making this no longer a political football, public safety in the state of Delaware. They need to have trigger points, in my opinion. As our population increases or decreases, there is a trooper allocated.
There is a formula. I don't know the formula.
Well, we know it doesn't work because we know what our allocations have been in this county for the last 8 years or beyond, and it's not working. So I think we need to no longer make it a budgetary political football.
We just got some new ones years ago.
We just got 10 about a month ago, and prior to that, we'll save that discussion for another day. But all I'm saying is that perhaps the message can be is how can we no longer make this a political football, public safety.
Mr. Wilson.
One more question. I want to get away from this police thing. Now, what caught my eyes, the university, the Del Tech colleges, you're talking about 5% property tax. What do you think the chances of that passing this assembly?
I think that the cuts that the JFC put in that whole budget, I think they're going to stay. I don't have any reason to believe they're going to adjust that, because quite frankly, they need to go find this RTT money somewhere else now. The 20-some million dollars that they were going to generate by taking everybody else's really transfer tax is still a big hole in their budget. So I just don't mm-hmm. understand how they would now not do the cuts they put in.
Actually, this is probably more dangerous than the state police, because I think that's a smoke screen. But I think this is a backdoor deal here. And I think they're just out to get us for 5%. And next year, it'll probably be 6%, 10%. And here's my problem with this. As long as we pay presidents $400,000 and $500,000 a year, retirements, and all these kind of benefits, just one person, and then they come along and say, we can just spend, and just tax. That's what gets my goat, really. And that's what really makes me aggravated, to think that legislators are not more awake in what they're doing now.
Well, I'm proud to tell you that I'll say 99% of all the legislators in the Delaware legislature that live in Sussex County feel and agree with you on almost all of your policy. I hear very little difference from any of the representatives or senators that represent us. Now, this issue on RTT, our voices got bigger by the other two counties. And that's what I think made the change. Mm-hmm. We had mm-hmm. more voices singing the same mm-hmm. tune.
If they didn't charge, if they wouldn't give so free to give away their money, actually the people that paid to go to college would meet some of these expenses. But they're not even coming near, because they just throw money left and right. They don't have any concern about the people paying all these taxes. That's, it seems to me, that's the problem here in our Del Tech.
There are a lot of problems.
I think Del Tech does a good job, but the point is a person worth $400,000 or $500,000 working for the public, for you and I? That's the point I get. If it's a private enterprise, that's another thing. But working for a public enterprise, I can't get it.
I think what you're hearing from this council, at least what I'm hearing, is this: the Del Tech, the tax, when you have told us it is not guaranteed for Del Tech only, I don't think there's any support here for that tax.
That's not good.
No, we're not.
So you can carry that message this afternoon to whoever you want to carry it to.
And it's not an offense on Del Tech.
No, it's not. Nothing to do with Del Tech.
It's about the structure.
It's the fact that they're going to tax people based on the Del Tech,
right.
But the money could go to wherever.
Exactly.
Well, that's fraudulent.
When I read that really concerned. That's why I took it right to Gina. And
crazy.
We went over that together.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
I'll see you in Dover. Anthony D. Giuseppe.